This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media.
Hey guys, awesome episode today. We got a guy who's got a cheating girlfriend, a ghosting story, and a fuckboy. Check it out, share with your friends, enjoy. Train podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side. Stand Up New York Labs are here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every week. Let me say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Keep on doing that. Keep telling people, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, anybody with ears. That's who we want. I want them listening to the podcast. We got to keep this thing growing. Every week it gets bigger, and that's only because of you and word of mouth. That's the only way this gets out. So keep spreading the word and keep sending me your Snapchats, JTrain56. I'm on Snapchat. I'm also on Instagram, which I'm starting to use more and more. So Jared Fried on Instagram. You can find me, JaredFreid on Instagram. And keep sending me you listening to the podcast. It's a tear streams down my cheek every time I see a video or a picture of you and how you're listening. A little quiet stream of tears going down my cheek as I'm on the subway watching you listen to me talk about nothing. So I really appreciate it. It literally feathers my nuts. Get that giant feather out and just brush it up and down the seam of my ball sack. Every time you spread the word, tell a friend or send me a snap or Instagram of how you're listening, where you're listening, and in all over the world. It's crazy. And it's like I'm jumping, you know, it feels very sci-fi. Like I'm jumping into your lives for those 10 seconds to see how it's going down. It's just a wild thing that this thing gets out there for all of you to see and hear. And I really appreciate it. And I've met a lot of you lately at some of the shows I've been doing. So that's very cool too. You know, it's not always nice coming on stage and having someone yell J-Train or feather my nuts. You know, that's kind of a weird thing for like someone else to hear that doesn't know this podcast. But it's fun for me. I enjoy it. I'm very excited about today's guest. We've tried to schedule before, known him for a while. It's a long time coming. Pat Dixon, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
It's really good to have you, man. So yeah. Funny. At Pat Dixon on Twitter. He's got a podcast, the New York City Crime Report, which has been around for a while, right?
Since 2011.
Can you explain to the listeners, because I know everyone here that listens to this is looking for more shows to add to their library. How would you explain the New York City Crime Report?
Well, you know, I mean, you want to find it, go to crimereport.nyc, and it's all about New York City crime. That's the point. That's the whole thing. It's all jokes. You imagine the New York Post with punchlines.
Yeah.
And that's it. We have a saying, it has the motto, it's Robert. Robbery, murder, rape, hilarious. Yeah, and it's an irreverent show.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're talking to your friends, you can joke about shit like that.
Yes.
You know, you read in the Post, and it doesn't matter if a kid fell out of a window, there's something funny about it.
Yeah.
But you're not used to hearing stuff like that on a show. So I think, as far as I know, the only show that covers all New York City crime in a comedic way.
And you're just looking at the crime report, you're seeing something that happened, and you're mm-hmm. saying, how fucked up is that this happened?
Yeah, like this guy came up from Baltimore to kill black people in New York.
This is a true story.
Yeah, he's a what do you call it, a white supremacist. And
okay.
And he wanted to come to the media capital of the world so he could make his point. And
they caught him before he did it?
No, he killed a black guy.
Oh, my God.
And then he turned himself in.
He turned himself in.
Yeah, and he hates black guys. That's why he did it. So he's now
going to... Sounds like he hates one black guy.
Well, he's going to prison. He's going to be surrounded by black guys.
That might happen.
He's a little alarmed. They had some today. He was in the paper. He's like, you know, he's in Rikers or whatever now. And he's like, man, there's a lot of black people here.
He didn't realize. He didn't see that coming.
Yeah, he could have played. He's like, even the staff.
Yeah. He should have just went golfing, you know, like or something like that. You know, like, if you want to get away from the people you don't enjoy.
All kinds of ways to discriminate against people.
Yeah.
Shut them out.
So you basically go through each of these stories, and especially New York, you probably see the weirdest crimes in the world.
Oh, there's a lot of weird stuff, yeah.
Do you have one that, like, comes to mind that was, like, the most memorable?
Well, there was this guy named Ronaldo Zebra, and he was some kind of model, underwear model, and he was traveling here with some guy in his 60s.
Okay. Sounds like there's some dick sucking going on.
Yeah, exactly. An old gay dude who could help this guy with his career.
Okay.
Well, this guy got tired of being gay and just snapped, and he's only 22 years old, but he just ruined this guy.
What do you mean?
He was in a hotel room, international hotel. This was in Times Square. He used a corkscrew to remove his scrotum and balls.
Oh, so this guy who was used the old man to get his career going, then
decided
went crazy and fucking killed him.
Murdered him, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He wore his testicles as a bracelet.
This old guy's going to be a better person. He's going to vet his runaways better.
Dude. Yeah, be a little more careful next time when you bring up these boy toys. You know? I mean, like, hey, you get to learn the warning signs, and they're getting tired of sucking
dick. That is a wild story.
It's one of many. I mean, like, when people ask that, it's like, well, there's a guy who cut his mother up into pieces and put her into different garbage cans all throughout the South Bronx.
Okay.
And weird coincidence with that guy, his wife, who, you know, this guy, they put him obviously in prison for cutting his mother's head off. She killed their kid because he dropped an egg on a floor.
Oh, so this is just wildly crazy. These people.
It's a weird coincidence. Yeah. Usually, you know, like, maybe she might have had the right idea to kill that boy before he grows up and kills mom. Well,
this episode started weird. I think we're all in for a nice treat today. we're gonna chop up some family members. If you're listening with your mom right now, listen, okay?
Call the kids in the room.
Get them all in. Get around the fire. We got Pat Dixon here. We're going to talk about chopping up your family and, you know, young runaways beating up their... They're gay.
You know, you could do
sugar daddies.
You could do a whole show just on dog fuckers.
Really?
Yeah. There's so many. Not necessarily in New York, because people, dog fucking is more of a Florida thing.
Okay, that's their thing.
Yeah, Florida.
Our thing is chopping up the bodies. Theirs is
just a lot of body disposal.
Fido looks hot today.
There was one in Tempe, Arizona, and I was just thinking, man, I wish this would happen in New York,
because then you could talk about it.
Because then I could talk about it.
You got rules on your podcast.
Well, I only talk about stuff that happens in New York, but I think that what I'm going to do is introduce a segment saying, things I wish I could talk about.
Yeah, things I wish happened in New York so that we can make fun of it.
Because when you fuck a dog, you know, and this dog, you need to be known as the dog fucker from now on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That needs to be said as often as possible. Also, that's a status.
Fucking the dog is really like, you know, at what point, like, aren't you a little embarrassed to walk by the dog later in the day? You know, like, at least if you fuck a food item, you don't have to, like, have, like, the food item look at you later and be like, really?
It would be in your head.
You know, like, there's no judgment from the food item. I feel like my dog would have a lot of judgment.
See, it would be in your head, not in the dog's head. The dog, I don't think he remembers it. He just knows that there's a reason he wants to go back into the laundry room again, you know?
He knows there's a reason he doesn't like when you're about to take a shower.
Yeah.
He runs out of the room when you're going to get undressed for the day.
It's so many more women fucking dogs than you'd expect.
Really?
It's typically women, yeah. I think that it's...
That scares the shit out of me.
Maybe that's just how bad men are doing these days.
Some of the women I've been with, they probably figured, you know, Fido would be the next best option.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, listen, Pat, I'm pumped to have you. At Pat Dixon on Twitter and Instagram and New York City Crime Report, crimereport.nyc. Go check it out. It's a fun show. That's a great concept. I like it.
Thanks.
Because there's always new shit. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah. We expanded it to Compound Media this year, or last year, a year and a half ago, however long it's been. So it's like just the podcast, and then it's also, it's cool to have that visual element, you know, and a whole new audience. Yeah, Compound. You do Kumia shows
sometimes. Yeah, I've
been on
Kumia sometimes, and they have all the cameras set up, and they can bring up the stuff on YouTube and shit. And
yeah.
It's fun.
We do a lot of production, yeah. A
lot of production. Well, let's get into the emails. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Send in anything you'd like. If you're fucking a dog, let us know. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Are you ready? This is a big one. We're going to start with a bang. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's called SOS from Minnesota. Sup, J Train? I've been a devout listener since you rocked the Carolina Cup, and your podcast keeps me going as I trudge through my big four nightmare of a career. I declare your nuts to be feathered. Let's get down to business. I've been dating the love of my life for about 2 years now. We're both 23. Okay? You're married.
Yeah, I'm married, yeah.
Okay.
I was married when I was 23 to somebody else.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So that went not well.
Well, I don't know if you've met the love of your life at 23.
Well, I think there can be a lots of loves of your life.
Of course.
I think if we're really going to be practical about this whole thing, there's a bunch of people I could end up with.
Yeah. I had one from my 20s, one 30s, and now my 40s.
There you go.
Yeah. You need several. You're right.
She's an 879. So we have a rating system here on the podcast. Guys or girls can use it. It's a face, body, personality. It's the area code method.
Face, body, personality.
879.
Okay.
8 face, 7 body, 9 personality. Solid career. We have plenty of shared interests, and we love each other's families. Her one flaw, besides having voted for Hillary, but we both wished Marco would have made a run, so it's fine, is she blacks out way too easily at bars and has a propensity to say, do things that she doesn't mean during the blackout. It's never been anything haven't been able to talk through, so I've never given it a ton of thought. We've talked about engagement. I have the ring picked out and was on pace to propose Memorial Day weekend until yesterday. Are you ready? Yesterday, something came up, and this was sent in 4 hours ago. When I picked her up from the airport after a girl's trip to D.C., she told me she blacked out one of the nights and made out with another guy, according to all her friends. Her friends pulled her away as soon as they saw that was happening and immediately carried her out of there. That's how out of it she was.
That's the story they've agreed on.
This sounds like a, you know, let's get our ducks in line,
yeah,
type of story. This is the first violation of fidelity we've ever had that you all know of. If she blacks out, you don't know what the fuck has happened, but we'll move on. And as even as a formerly jealous boyfriend, I know she's always been worthy of my trust. She's been miserable since telling me, and I genuinely know she's wishes she hadn't come out of so out of control and put herself in the situation. I know it was a result of the blackout, but I just don't know what I should do here. Is this a one-time instance, not a big deal in the long run? Any advice is appreciated, especially any similar narratives you've seen in your typical social circles, as I'm extremely inexperienced with infidelity. Thanks for your advice. Keep up the good work. Keep making the world a better place. P.S. to illustrate the maturity of our relationship, we're considering couples counseling to get through this. PPS, I told her I can't make any sound decisions without consulting the almighty J Train as a fan herself. She totally understood. Oh my God. So they might be listening to this. Could be the couples therapy that they're having right now.
Yeah, so you both have your issues.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we all got our issues. Some people come to me for advice and other people, you know, get blacked out and fuck the waiter. You know, so I don't know. What do we think? Have you ever been in this situation? You ever been cheated on?
Sort of, yeah.
Sort of?
Well, I have, but I was cheated on by a girl who I was cheating with. So I was married, and the chick that I thought...
So you're married, you're cheating on your wife...
With this redhead.
And the redhead is cheating on you.
The redhead fucked some dude in, like, Oklahoma or something.
Yeah. Okay, and how'd you find out?
I was about... Oh, she told me because she thought I'd found out. So she told, she was like, oh, I know what he told you, that this and this. And I was like, wait, hold on a second. And then I just started pulling at that string.
Yeah.
And anyway, but let's, but about this situation here, I would wonder if this guy drinks, does he drink to excess like she does? And that makes a big difference. You
Why
know?
Does that make a big difference?
Well, because if he shares in the same thing, like, oh yeah, I black out all the time too, then like you get about as good as you can. You don't know what you're going to do either, really. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
you're both playing with fire.
Yeah, and something.
It but, sounds like one of those situations, plus, and you see this with the relationships a lot. It's like the one out of control woman or guy with the doting, like, father-mother figure.
Yeah, yeah. The reason it matters is you can slide into a caretaker role, like
yes.
you said. And you don't want that. It sounds like it's probably already happened to some degree. Here's the other part of it. You can't trust her, I don't think, at all. you know, because like, I mean, you've
to
had
put it mildly,
false sense of security that you're like, oh yeah, I know, I understand loving her, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you can love someone and know that they're fucked up,
and then you end up not being able to really follow through on all those big plans because I mean, marriage and stuff like that. It's going to be miserable, dude. It will be miserable.
I'm a little apprehensive about this advice giving, considering they're both fans of the podcast. I know that they might both be, you know, now I feel like I'm too close to the situation. But I'll push through.
Yeah, well, you almost have to give her a little bit of advice, too. I mean, listen, if you're blacking out that much,
this is a problem with falling in love at 21.
Yeah.
You know, no personal responsibility. You're now growing up with someone else. So instead of having to grow up alone and figuring out the type of person you are and how, and your deficiencies. I'll tell this story kind of, I don't know if it relates. I'm kind of... This relates. I have a friend that, and I always say that if you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or you're married young, you've had a personal assistant your whole life. You've had two extra set of eyes. You know, when you look at a single guy's apartment, it's all a mess because no one's there to be like, hey, we got to clean it up for this. You know, like there's no one on your schedule all the time. There's no one letting you know, oh, this Saturday we got to be ready for this thing and that thing. It happens with weddings all the time. I notice it. The couples that are going to the wedding are always more prepared as if this is their big trip than I ever am. I get to the wedding, I'm like throwing my shit in the luggage the day of, being like, oh my God, I should get a hotel room.
And beyond even just having the assistant, too, if I can just interject this real quick, because you have shared knowledge, right? Like,
yes.
Between the two of you, you might three-quarters ass know how to get through life.
Yes.
You know, like otherwise you end up going like, why do I itch? Oh, you have to change your sheets? Really? You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. You're not really growing to your fullest potential. You always have this crutch of a person. You know, and I think of it with the wedding stuff. I bring it back to the wedding stuff because I had a friend who got divorced later in life, and he's a good friend of mine. And we were rooming together at this wedding, and the wedding was black tie optional. And I look at him, but he gets his stuff out of the bag, and he's wearing this like bright suit with like a no tie. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna go open shirt. Like it was like a pink check shirt open with like a gray suit, and I go, or a gray jacket with like khaki. It black tie optional means dark suit or fucking tux. Okay, it doesn't mean, you know, optional doesn't mean just optional.
Right.
It doesn't mean just you know get creative. It means. Get in line with the fucking wedding, idiot. And I'm looking at him and he goes, I'm ready. I go, dude, it's black tie optional. What are you wearing? And he's like, optional. And I'm like, this is my point. He just recently had gotten divorced. And I looked at him and I go, dude, people have been looking at me with the face I'm giving you since we've gotten out of college. Because I've been perpetually single or not in the serious relationship to bring a girl to a wedding mode. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly showing up to weddings being like, you need a cummerbund? Like, you need this? You need that? And it's these little things that a girl would have been on my ass being like, did you get the cufflinks? Did you do the right thing? Because that is someone picking up the slack that we all have.
But it's possible to learn from that, too.
No, you can learn from it, but it's also someone that's not letting you learn because you never feel the pain of not going through this.
I see what you mean.
So,
right.
To really learn from mistakes, you have to feel the pain of a mistake.
Yeah.
When you're in a relationship, there's that other person that's kind of like
A safety net.
And I'm saying I looked at my buddy, I go, listen, dude, no one's going to fucking say this to you, but I go, I have to double and triple check shit because there's no one else to help me fucking realize that optional means put on a dark suit and look right. And he was like, and I go, I know you're recently divorced, but like, this is what fucking happens. And everyone's going to look at you the way they looked at me, where it's like, how the fuck did you not remember the black socks? I'm like, because I don't have this nag with me yelling about the black socks for 2 months before the wedding because I don't give a shit about this wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Where you two have to give the shit. When you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend,
oh, yeah.
This is all you have to talk about. And not to make girlfriend or boyfriend sound bad, but this is just the monotony of relationships where half your time is spent talking about the next big event coming up. So,
yeah.
Bringing it back to this guy, how is this girl ever going to learn from her mistake if you're there as the love of her life telling her it's okay, you just blacked out, nothing went wrong?
Good question. And
if she was also if she was alone, she would maybe have that moment in the mirror to say, "Hey, maybe I should stop drinking."
Well,
but go on. What were you going
to say? Yeah, I mean, like to take it to that level. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think if
but if you're
if I was a guy, I would say, "Look, you black out. You don't know what you're doing."
Yeah.
That's what happened. You didn't do that because you just wanted to kiss somebody. You did it because you were blacked out. So what are you going to do to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Yes. Well, this is my point. And
she, just say that. You know what I mean?
He could
and
say,
she,
well...
And she's going to know... The answer is there in her head. It's like, you know, well, there's only one thing you can do. Because most people who black out, they don't black out on purpose.
No, they're just bad at drinking.
They plan to have a couple of beers.
Yeah. They weren't like, this is the night. Blackout City. I mean, I've done that anytime. And sometimes I'll cheers a shot and I'll be like, see you tomorrow. And then take the shot.
Good night, Jared.
Good night, everybody. I'll be here, but I won't be here. You know, but I'm saying the toughest part of a young relationship is that you could look her in the face and be like, hey, it was a mistake. This is the one time. And then move on. This is not a move-onable thing. You have the ring picked out. You have to say to her, major changes have to be made as far as her and your drinking habits together. Why is she getting blacked out? Is she upset about other shit? Is she not mature enough to have... Is she socially immature with the group? Does she feel, I have nothing to talk about with people, so I replace the quiet moments with a shot-taking moment? I've done that. I'm guilty of that. When I'm sitting in a bar and I'm looking at someone, I'm like, what the fuck do I have to talk with this guy about? And I look at him, I'm like, let's just take a shot. Because that moves time along.
Well, you think she's honestly hanging out with that many people she has nothing to say to?
I'm saying she went on a girl's trip and blacked out so hard that she felt the need to make out with a dude.
I'm out with my friends, you know, people that I like, that I've traveled with, and I have nothing to say to any of them. How about this guy?
Well, this is, I mean...
And she probably fucked that guy. I mean, like, that's probably what happened.
I don't think so. It sounds like the
friends... She blew him in the bathroom. Women will say shit like that. They'll go, we need to get it across that something happened. Otherwise, it's a lie. Mm. You know? So, what was it? You know, we made out... Whatever you... They'll tell it as far as what they think they can get forgiveness for.
Yeah.
But then beyond that, that's where the honesty ends.
Mm.
So, she thinks that she can get forgiveness for this. There's something... There's definitely something she's not telling him. Definitely some element of he got some tit, something. You know what
I mean? Not even worried about that. I hear what you're saying. Like there was a nipple playage maybe, but I'm saying my biggest concern is, okay, why are
you
getting...
I think she fucked him.
You think so?
I think so, yeah. I think otherwise, I don't think they'd even mention a makeout.
Oh, it wasn't even worth... That's the other thing. Why even bring it up? Like, why did she need to tell him this?
No, but that's the thing, though. I mean, if... It seems like they're pretty committed if they're talking about getting engaged or whatever. She feels terrible about it. She would bring it up if it was just a makeout because she does actually feel bad about it. And that's the thing. Like, it is largely going to be on him if he wants this to continue.
If he's gonna keep this going, which it sounds like he's kind of made that decision to do, it sounds like he's like, I'm going to forgive her, but how do we move on? The only way you move on is by changing the drinking habits. You can't. That's the only way to move on because you're saying when she blacks out, it happened because of the blackout. Okay, so you got to take away the blackout. And if she can't do that and she won't commit to that, time to move on.
Well, she'll do it for a while, and then she'll go, look, I haven't had a drink at all for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So now I'm having a
glass of wine.
Yeah.
I would hate to be in that relationship. Like, nothing is worse than being in the relationship where it's like you're sitting there with your fucked up counterpart.
Get the fuck out of this relationship. It's never going to be good.
Right?
It's always going to be bad. Yes, get out of it. And I know that it sounds so insensitive to say that. The worst thing that could happen right now is that this will work out. That is the worst case scenario is that
you guys put this
thing back together. Because when you're 23, you're very different from who you're going to be when you're 33.
Yeah,
and you're different from who you're going to be when you're fucking 43. And people used to get married when they were 17 because they lived to be 50.
I hear you. And like, why? What was the need for the girls' trip in the first place? Like, you got to get away from this dude. I don't know. There's a lot of questions I have. I think most importantly is changing habits, like real change. You can't just look at each other and be like, that was one time, and then go on living the way you've been living.
I know the feeling of wanting to just get it over with and move on and go, you know what, I forget. It's not that big a deal. I understand how it could happen, all that kind of shit. But, man, I mean, these things are very painful over a period of time. You know what I mean? If this happens again...
I mean, twice would make him like a different person. That is a painful thing. But yeah. I think it's one, end the drinking habits. Two, taking some time apart to see how you feel apart.
I'd definitely break up for a while, yeah, for sure.
And just see how it goes.
Yeah, just see how it goes. And you might be surprised at how many people you can fall in love with.
I just think there needs to be personal growth. And it doesn't sound like personal growth is going to happen. It sounds like you're forgiving her right away, being like blaming the alcohol. The alcohol is another thing. She's doing the alcohol for another reason.
It's just to enable her to do the things that she wants to do.
Yeah, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Now we've discussed here, I want to do some live call-ins. I don't know how the listeners feel about this. Pat, you're new to the show. We usually just take the emails. I asked for failed sexual experiences. Mansep, I want to call this guy.
The one I just sent you. Okay.
Let's call him and try and get him on the phone. Do you have a failed sexual experience? Do you remember the worst failure?
Almost exclusively. But, you know.
What's your biggest failure in sex?
The worst one, I guess, would be that it was in Clovis, New Mexico at an army base.
Okay.
And it was the middle of winter, and I've been driving there for a couple of days. It's like being on the moon. It's the loneliest I've ever been in my life. You know, like light snow falling. You pass a convenience store, you're like, who is this convenient for? It's been 100 miles, you know?
Yeah.
So I got there, performed at the base. It was kind of a, you know, and here's the other part. Not doing real well in my career. I was like, I'm there for like $75 or something. Mm-hmm. New Mexico. I lived in Atlanta.
Drove to New Mexico,
yeah. To do Clovis and Carlsbad and maybe Roswell or something, or maybe that fell through.
I'd be
I don't
scared
know.
As shit.
Gigs all over the place. It was weird. Hooked up with some girl. Some lady, she was there on the base, you know, we're there. I got really hammered, and it went on for a long time, right? Like some sort of, like, you know, my dick not doing anything. And then finally, it just kind of, like, fucking did something, and then I just laughed. And fucking, like, I might have come on her a little bit, and I laughed, and I fucking, and she was so fucking pissed off, stormed out the door.
Okay.
And I heard her yelling, all the way, had to be halfway down the fucking, you know, breezeway there. She's fucking
just
super
screaming.
Mad. And she was married, I think. She hooked up with the drunk fucking comic.
One time I was with this girl, and this is actually fairly recently. I was with her, and I, like, at night we're trying to hook up, and I'm drunk, and I'm like floppy dick, you know, like it looks like the ear of a dog. Just back and forth, fucking paintbrushing all over, fucking...
You're praying for that moment where you hear a little noise out of the side. I need to get stands up for a second.
I need something to happen. I'm trying to whittle a boner. You know, I'm like taking two sticks together, taping it to the side. And then I literally was like, it's not going to happen. So like we go to bed, wake up the next morning. I'm like, let's take another shot at it. Mm. And I can feel, you know, when you can't get it up, but then you finally do, you're like, oh, I'm going to go in 5 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've
exactly,
never,
yeah.
You know, and it's the curse, you know, that we have to live with. And yeah. I'm about to get it up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to go so fast. And we'd never have sex before. I think the first sexual experience with someone is the most important. If you nail the first one, all the rest can suck.
I've never nailed the first one.
Well, this is the problem. Well, and I'm sitting there, I'm like about to nut in like 5 seconds. I'm like, I can't get it up again. And I just faked like I couldn't.
Yeah.
And then I remember her just looking up at me like, oh, like kind of disappointed. And she was like, do you want me to just like blow you or something? And I was like, and just the way she said it made me so depressed. I was like, do you like, what is this, a contract? Like, what do you want me to just, like, is this like, Like a you know, the second place.
Well, what she was trying to say there, you know? Is like, is there something wrong with you?
Yeah, like
if I actually suck it and it doesn't get hard, yeah,
we have a real issue. Also, you got to go from blowjob to sex. I don't like going sex back to blowjob. It feels like we went back. You know,
I agree.
I'm repeating second grade.
Here's the other thing I don't like to do is when I was single, I would be with women or whatever, hook up. I would never go intercourse. On the first night.
I
put that up to second or third.
I agree. And also it takes away the anxiety. Can I trust this person? Coming with a woman...
And you tell them that, they're like, oh yeah, right.
I'm no,
like,
that's what they know. I think girls don't understand the anxiety after coming. Mm. Like the major anxiety, the walking away being like, oh my God, do I like this person? You know, because then you start thinking, where like the minute you like come, even in a condom, you're like, oh, this is the person's having my baby. I have to spend the rest of my life with them. I owe them everything. They own half my shit.
Yeah, they immediately look different.
Yeah, and
I'm like, see the little mole that you don't like.
We're trying. Manson, did we find this guy?
Yeah, he wasn't answering, so I'm going to try him again.
I love that really that one-nighter you're talking about there, though. It's so fucking funny. That's such a funny thought. It's how different that person looks right after you ejaculate.
Oh, my God. You ejaculate, and you're like, oh, I see us growing old together and just hating each other.
Yeah.
You know, I see my future like the last emailer.
You start seeing yourself at Christmas with her parents and shit like that.
And then you look at her parents on Facebook. You're like, these people, she's going to look like this someday.
And then when you come, you're just going, get out.
That's how I come. Let's do this one. March Madness Flake. Mansamp, cue the music. The lady. I'm a 24-year-old female listener living in a major East Coast city with the best sports team of all time and a smoking hot QB. Sounds like a Patriots fan.
Yeah, that's the way they talk.
Yeah, that's the way they talk, and they should all be at the show June 22nd. I'll be at Laugh Boston at 10 o'clock. Go to their website, get a ticket. Get a ticket in advance so that I'm not on my way there, and then they cancel the show because that would suck. And that's never happened before, even though it has.
Yeah.
I recently got into the podcast via my roommate, another female listener. Thanks for giving me a glance into the straight male brain and for the actually good advice. Oh, I appreciate it. So here's the deal. I met this awesome guy at a bar about a month ago, solid 888. At the beginning, he showed initiative. We went on a super fun first date, during which he asked me out on a second date to my favorite restaurant. He's hilarious, smart, fun to be around. And plus, we have great chemistry. I was sold. After our third date, we hooked up but didn't have sex. Sounds like our perfect night.
Yeah.
He's told me he's not good at making plans and he's not a big texter. Totally fine. I don't like constant texting. This is like setting yourself up for success. Just want to let you know I'm not a big texter. Don't like to make plans.
Yeah. I'm not big on social media.
I don't like, I don't want to be sending pictures together.
Yeah.
I also might come early.
Sometimes I cancel last minute.
This is what guys do. Just to let you know that they're going to fade away. You know, like, I just want to let you know I got a medium penis. Just want to, like, put it out there.
Yeah.
I'm not good at meeting parents.
I'm thinking of moving, really.
Yeah, I'm not good at the city. I've done this so many times where I'm like, I'm not, like, a good plan maker. Not a good plan maker. Everyone's a good plan maker when they want to be.
Yeah.
Everyone knows how to treat somebody. So to say that you're, like, oh, I'm just not a texter. Oh, you don't do the thing that everyone's doing at all hours of every day? You're the one person that doesn't know how to text at a reasonable amount of time?
And making plans is like, you got to be a restaurant.
Yeah.
Where do you find a restaurant in this city?
Yeah, I don't know how to go. I don't know how to go on Seamless. Mm. I just hate these people. And this is happening so much where they're elevating themselves based on their retardation. they're like, I'm not a good texter. Like, there's some special person. No, you're bad at being a human. You're not better than me.
I never Google.
Oh, what's Google? Oh, what's a TV? Oh, I don't know. You have Netflix. How do you get Netflix? No, you're retarded.
Not a big texter means I'm not a big texter with you.
Yes,
that's all it is.
That's all it is.
And he's trying to be as direct and honest as he can.
Yeah.
And that's as direct and honest as he can
be. It's the same thing as saying, I'm so quirky and awkward. No, you're just the same as everyone trying to elevate yourself for those moments where you're not good at social situations. Oh, yeah. You don't know how to... you don't like meeting people that you've never met before? Welcome to the club. Everyone hates meeting new people and feels awkward about it.
Uh-huh.
Don't tell me that you're fucking Zooey Deschanel now because you mishandshook with somebody.
Oh my God, such a nerd. I'm such a beautiful nerd.
But girls will let guys off the hook all the time because they don't want to admit to themselves. And I'm the same way. I'm the same person as this girl. I don't want to admit to myself that I fucking suck. So I'm going to be like, yeah, she's a bad texter.
Yeah.
She doesn't know how to make plans. We make these excuses for other people so that we don't feel bad about the reality of this person isn't that into it.
Yeah. It's going to end up being a lot of like, and then why did he do this? I don't understand. It's going to be a lot of trying to figure out what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, and it's really nothing to figure out. How come he was good at plans until the blowjob? Answer that question for me. How come he came and then all of a sudden did not a text?
Tell him that you'd like to have a threesome and you want to just like maybe plan it out a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, see how good a planner he is. Unfortunately, for the past week, after our third date, he's put no initiative into contacting me or making plans. I was getting worried he was going to ghost me, but when I texted him, he responded right away. Yeah, that's what we do. That he was down to hang. Then he proceeded to flake on two possible... This is the move. This is the move. I am this guy.
Wow.
I'm this guy and this girl. I basically blew myself and then ghosted on myself. Because I know what he's doing. I know what she's doing. Yeah. It's all...
We've all been on both sides of that equation.
Both sides of the coin, but it ended up flaking again because of March Madness. What does it mean when a guy who's not good at planning responds positively but doesn't take any action to hang out? I don't want to take the L because I'm so interested, but the realist in me says he's not that into me. Could it be bad time? March Madness. Can you imagine? Can you imagine not getting with the girls of your dream because UNC is playing? No. Listen, future wife.
Every year, me and my buddies, we get together, we watch again. It's a big thing.
Yeah, we got this bracket that I have $10 on.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big. Yeah, that's not a good excuse if he's into you at all, and he's not. But you know what? The reason that he does it that way, she's like, well, what does it mean?
She's asking, is there anything I can do besides continuing to play it interested but not thirsty and take initiative inviting him to fun things? Or do you have suggestions for distracting myself while I try to be cool about his flaking?
You ghost him. Go on with your life.
Yeah.
Find somebody else to date, and then you might hear from him, but you probably won't.
You're exactly right, Pat. And here's what I'll... Let me answer her first question. I love this move. Done this move 1,000 times. You get weird about texting, and then she texts you, we should hang, and you are right there with a text, totally, let's hang. And you make the date because you don't want to be the guy who left after the blowjob. So what he's doing is he's giving himself a little respectability by saying, hey, I'm still talking, he's still trying to make plans, but we kept canceling, and that's why it ended. It didn't end because I came. And then that's all I wanted.
And he's a genius because agreeing right away is the least number of texts.
Yes. So now he's saying, I'll get you in for next week. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute, March Madness? Which is such a ridiculous reason to cancel. Yeah, you know, at least have a grandmother die or some shit. March Madness. Hey, listen, it's the Sweet 16. I'm not going to be able to be on our anniversary date. I can't imagine.
I'm seeing this other girl that night.
Yeah.
He's got chemistry with other people is all that is, you know?
So I do think...
That's for sure, by the way.
But the movie's pulling is the... It's not exactly ghosting. It's actually haunting.
Yeah.
Because...
It is.
Yeah. It's more that he's saying like he's like sticking around, but he's like, oh, I'll do the date with you. Let's make it for next Tuesday. Yeah. And then he's slowly, oh, I better go to a new place to haunt. You know, and he's slowly moving out without being so he doesn't want to be a dick. So he's saying, yeah, sure, let's make plans, knowing he's going to cancel him. He blamed March Madness, and now you're going to give up, and you're going to cry yourself out like a baby.
Well, he also wants to... She's an option, you know what I mean? Like, totally. Keep her around, you know, just like... Why burn a bridge, you know?
The move for her is to be so fantastic that he looks ridiculous. So the move for her is to say, fuck all this date shit, okay? You go out with your friends, go have fun. Then you let him know... I'm out right now. Make it such an easy option that he'd literally have to turn to his friends and say, yeah, I'm turning down a blowjob. And they'd have to look at him and be like, what? You're just not going to go meet her at 2 a.m.? She seems like she wants to fuck. Yeah, well, I don't want to be anything with her, and I know that this is going to lead to more. So then you invite him to this like 1 a.m. hangout in Boston, make it 12 because you guys... Your bars close in like 15 minutes. And then you go and you say, I'm out, we're hanging, we're dancing, come. He will come, and then at the end of the night you say, great seeing you, dance floor makeout, don't bring him home. That's it. And then see if he'll come the next time. And come the next time. And come the next time, but he never comes. Literally. And you just keep pushing him off, and you keep being that late night fun time that he thinks he's going to get blown, but never does. And then three times you say to him, You say to him, listen, we're having fun. I'll hang out with you tomorrow if you want. And see if he pulls on that string.
And then cancel.
And then and then fuck his best friend in front of him. No, and then you go on, then you see if he's willing to have a date. Because you need to show that you want to hang, that your fun times at night are better than, are going to be worth his coming.
We're talking to a Boston girl, so like she's, I feel like that kind of a person is competitive and shit like that, and yeah. She wants to get in there and play and like make her presence known and shit like that. I would say fade off and let it just date somebody who's into you. But you know what? That's better because like you show her a way to get kind of like the upper hand.
Yeah, if you want to see, but I'm saying there might every turn he might say no, which is fine. At least you're out having fun.
At least you're not
waiting at home twiddling your thumbs waiting for this fucking dude who definitely haunted you, you know, to get out of there.
It sounds like a lot of production for a show that nobody's going to see.
Yeah. That is true. I think the way I played it out is a perfect scenario. At every time, he could just not come, and then you're out having fun. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You're not waiting for him.
Exactly. You know the way. Yeah, exactly.
This is pushing you to go out more.
Yes.
With also not saying that it's a yes or no from him. You're waiting on him to join your bus, get on your train.
That's really smart.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're sponsored. Blue Apron. Some of you have sent me snaps of you cooking the Blue Apron, which is very cool. That's what you should be doing. You should be sending this to chicks. And dudes, look at what I'm making tonight. I got a lot of shit because I make these omelet videos where I'm cooking an omelet because I got on this whole omelet bender. This guy, Sadiq Hadzavik, he's got like a million Instagram followers. I emailed him for a whole fitness thing, and he helped me out a bit. So the big thing was breakfast was this big omelet. And I love making it. It's fun to cook. It's fun to take. And I take videos of me doing it, and you wouldn't believe the response from women. Like the women that write me love that omelet because it gives them something to talk about that isn't just your face. So with this Blue Apron shit, you take a video of you making these Blue Apron things, people are going to say, what are you cooking? What are you making? What are you doing? You're doing something that not everyone else is doing.
Right. And they look like something you're not supposed to be able to make.
Yeah. Look at the food. Hold on.
If you can execute a really good omelet, too, that's everything.
Yeah, yeah, I flip the omelet. I do a flip every now and again, and I get response like you wouldn't believe. So I'm saying with Blue Apron, and I mean, like, they got shit on the menu, like seafood. When the fuck are you going to make seafood, idiots? You're never going to make seafood. You're not going to make a salmon. You're not going to make, I mean, like, you're not going to make. Do we have a list of what the...
Yeah, it's got the featured upcoming Parmesan-crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli.
Dude, if you're making a Parmesan-crusted chicken, girl or guy, someone's responding to that snap.
Yeah, of course.
And listen, so basically, it's affordable, less than $10 a meal, tons of variety. There's new recipes every week, flexible. You can customize your recipe based on your preferences. Easy. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card. Guaranteed. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises every ingredient in your delivery ready to cook. Okay, listen. The best part is it's portioned out for a single person. So when you go to the grocery store, you waste tons of money on shit you never use. They give you all the portions. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free. Come on. That's three Instagram story posts I'm giving you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
opportunities for chicks or dudes to get in touch with you being like, are you making Parmesan chicken?
It's going
to
actually improve your social life. It's
yeah, it's
going
to improve you. With free shipping by going to blueapron.com/JTrain. That's blueapron.com/JTrain, blueapron.com/JTrain, blueapron.com/JTrain. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/JTrain. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. So, your move should be, you get a Blue Apron, those first three meals are free, and you're going to be cooking it up, and you do like your Emeril. You do the step-by-step with your Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat followers, and people will be like, what's going on with this dude? Or lady. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're going to do one more email. I know Pat's got to get going, so is one more cool?
Yeah.
So we'll do one more email. I like this one. Am I a fuckboy? I don't like this term, fuckboy. It's like the male slut. I don't like the word slut. I never liked the word slut.
I like the word slut when you're fucking, you know?
Mm.
But fuckboy...
In the throes of passion.
Hey, fucking slut. Fuckboy is kind of a...
Thanks for the example.
Yeah, it's kind of a... Yeah. Imagine I was fucking you.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
You would say, you fucking slut.
But fuckboy sounds gay. It sounds like a gay thing.
Can you imagine a woman yelling fuckboy during sex?
Never.
I can't... Hey, fuckboy. Yeah, no,
it's like
even...
it's emasculating. It's stupid. Like, it doesn't sound like... Back in the day, it used to be like player or whatever, has a better connotation.
I feel like I once hooked up with this girl, and
yeah,
in the middle,
really, yeah.
I hooked up with this girl. She was Southern, and I loved it. She would go, this is going to get hot, okay? So get out your boners, dudes. She would go, yeah, boy. I fucking loved it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, boy. Like, B-O-I. It sounded like she said it with an I. And they go, yeah, boy. I loved it. I was into it. I was like, oh, man.
That's totally different.
Totally different.
That's totally different. I agree. That's not like fuckboy.
Yeah, I don't like fuckboy. I've gotten several of my friends to listen to the podcast since I started listening a year ago. Consider your biscuits buttered. They are. So Saturday, recently you helped me with a window tap, which led to a DM. So we have this. there's a lot of language issues in this thing. The window tap is when you like a bunch of girls' Instagram pictures in a row. So she sees that you liked a bunch in a row. Then she goes to your profile, and then maybe she likes a bunch of yours in a row. Now you send a DM that's like, hey, now that we've liked each other's all each other's pictures, figured I'd say hi. Starts the conversation. But the window tap is you just tapping on all those Instagram photos, being like, I'm here. Hello. Hello.
That makes like that's good.
I'm hard, you know, that type of thing. So... So Saturday, we got to talking, and she, girl A, asked me to come hang out and see her. For reference, her school's about an hour from my school, and I have friends at her university. So Saturday, I decided to go up and see girl A. Man, this guy is traveling. This guy is on the road. Hour trip to some vagina. In the meantime, there was another girl, girl B, who I had drunk, snapped, and flirted with, going so far as to ask girl B to hang out, to which she declined. Okay, sounds like you got one girl, dude. Turns out girl A and B went to the same high school near my town and have the same mutual friends. These girl's friend adds me on Snapchat and bluntly says, are you a fuckboy? Saying that I was playing these girls. I replied we are all adults and she needs to stop treating me like a child and let her friends think for themselves. Man, there's no more childish way to respond to someone than, don't treat me like a child. No adult has ever said that. Skip ahead to Saturday night. A girl A and I are drunk and all over each other. So that's girl A. That's the Instagram girl. Then we got to talking, and I told her what her friend said to me and explained my end of the situation. Girl A told me that the girl who snapped me had told her that I was dating around and that I was a fuckboy. I explained that I was actually romantically interested in girl B and that I had actually had a huge crush on her, girl A, for some time now. So, what? Romantically and crushed? How's he separating those two? Things got hot, and I went back to her dorm. We ended up just passing out with a Stevie makeout. That's a long way for a makeout. It took an hour. I left Sunday morning early, texted her when I got home, asked what she was doing. She told me that she needed to think about things. I feel like this is a bad sign. Please help me, Jared. I really dig this girl.
It's a real bad sign.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good for you, dude. I don't want to jeopardize this anymore. P.S. I'm not dumb enough to realize that I wasn't careful and perhaps played my cards wrong, and I'll own my mistakes. Yeah, dude, you played a lot of things wrong. I mean, the whole am I a fuckboy thing, like... No, you're just a dude with a full penis.
And don't ever forget it. Don't buy into these dumbass terms and that's something bad.
Yeah,
are you
a
fuckboy? Like, it's an accusation. I'm doing what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
Whatever I want because I can.
Yes. And it's also, yeah, you made some mistakes along the way. I wouldn't have crossed the circles. You know, I wouldn't. Here's the problem with all this social media shit is if you're just throwing a bunch of shit in the wall, more than one thing might stick at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of like the problem with Bumble and like all these dating apps is and being so far out there, it can be exhausting. Right now, you've exhausted yourself. You got one girl you're romantically into, one girl you got a crush on. I don't fucking know. And you're driving an hour away to try and get off. You're doing a lot to get very little.
Yeah, he's obsessed.
So I think what he needs to do is, I think he's got to, one, throw some of this in the toilet. He's got to masturbate a little bit more. He's got to fucking put some of this aggression into a tissue and feel a little bit like relieved of these.
I bet you he's doing that like crazy already.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's you know, what, 20 or something like that? Of course.
I think with like the, okay, when you take a swing with a DM, when you take a swing with like these tapping on the window, keep it to one swing. You know, keep that narrowed because you got to have your, if you're in the hookup game and if you're a guy that's looking to get out there, you have to have, it's kind of like the, you have to have your land troops and your air troops. Okay. This analogy may make no sense.
I think it does already.
So I'm saying like you have to
I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, this is going to go. So I'm saying you got to have your ground game covered. So that's your friends of friends, the girls you see in classes, the people you see at parties. And then there's this fanciful air game. Those are your people you came across because you are on Instagram four friends deep and you're like an hour away. You know, like you can your Snapchat people.
Then there's a girl who, you know, works at the coffee shop you go to every day.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like...
Special teams.
There's special teams. I'm trying to give a better analogy of this. It's like, there's your reaches and your non-reaches, okay? Your reaches are, like, these people you see on social media that you have no connection to other than, like, three friends down the line that you sent a Facebook message to, and it's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
That's a reach. If you're reaching on every play... You need to start working on the people in your social circles. You need to start having real relationships because if you're sitting there every day sending out snaps to people you barely know and DMs to people you barely know and a Facebook message to people you barely know, now you're forming no critical social skills that are necessary for interacting with these people when you do get to them. So I'm saying there's localized people that you should be working on to have relationships with. And then there's like to be able to do these crazy out of mind things like DMing a random person to see if you could hang out an hour away. Does that make sense?
Well, not only that. Yeah, exactly. It makes total sense because you do end up just like social media relationships are not relationships.
Yes.
They're a weird hybrid, but there's something and they matter and you can sometimes cash them. The thing is when she asked if you were a fuckboy, she probably... As dumb as that is, wanted you to be a fuckboy and not a, no, I'm romantically interested. Let's have a makeout sesh.
Totally right.
Yeah. And that's why she's confused. She wanted to get fucked.
I put myself out there. I feel like kind of an idiot. I didn't know that you guys knew each other from high school. Yeah. I thought you both were hot. And that's why I'm here right now. That's why I drove an hour away.
Yeah.
To someone I barely know. She's complicit in this thing too. She's invited you to the school that you had other friends that knew that you barely knew each other. I'm not saying that gives you a right to like do anything. I'm just saying that she's in on this weird thing already.
Yeah, so to say,
like, how are you Snapchatting people? You did the deed with the devil. You know, like, what do you think? I'm not putting this out there everywhere?
Hey, look, I'm worthless. You know what I mean? You're not taking anything from her.
I'm worthless. I have nothing. Let's just
do it once and move on.
But my advice to this guy is to really start working on your localized connections. Start having friendships and actual interactions with women that don't happen behind a computer screen or a phone. And I do agree there's fun in the DM and the sliding into the DMs and taking the hour trip with a fucking rock hard dick on the way there. I get where that animalistic thing comes from because I've been there. But you have to also have the thing at home where you're good at talking to friends and girls and you have personal relationships because right now it sounds like you're doing everything online and nothing in person. So when you got there and she was like, are you a fuckboy? You didn't have the interpersonal skills to be able to say, yeah, I'm kind of a fucking idiot and laugh it off.
Yeah.
You had the interpersonal skills that exist online where you're like, I'm romantically inclined to you. And that's something you would write over text or over DM. That's not something you would say in person. Man, we came a long way from me talking about ground game and flight game.
Yeah.
But I like where we ended up.
Yeah, you need both, though. It's like you said. It's fun to have that shit that you sometimes, you know.
I've done it. I've been there. I've DM'd with a chick and been like, what the fuck am I doing meeting with this chick? What am I doing? We barely even know each other. But then I've also been able to get through that awkwardness because I've had relationships with girls that I've met in person, and I have friends that are women, and I've noticed, you know, I have friendships with other people that aren't online. So jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Pat Dixon, thank you for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me.
This is fantastic. At Pat Dixon on Twitter. Go follow him, support him. He's super funny, great on stage. Also, he's got the New York City Crime Report. You can go find that. crimereport.nyc. That's crimereport.nyc. New York City Crime Report. Great show. I love the description. I love that it's a concept, and you know, this is what people should add to their portfolio. So we're going to be right back with news and hypotheticals. We'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back. Pat Dixon had to go. You should all go follow him. He's so funny, so great. And it's a great show, New York City Crime Report. It's been around forever. I know he does live ones too. So go to crimereport.nyc, and it's at Pat Dixon on Twitter. Mansamp, thank you for coming on.
Hey, buddy.
At Mansamp on Twitter and Instagram, Mandatory Samson Podcast, every Friday here on the Stand Up New York Labs Network. Let's get into some Would You Rathers. This one's a dark one. Is that okay with you, Mansamp?
Yeah, I'm totally fine, yeah.
Let's see that Jew magic work. Pretty dark, would you rather? Would you rather go through one cycle of chemotherapy every other year? One cycle, full cycle, can last about 4 months, get all the side effects.
Okay.
Or suck a dick every other month, and it's a different guy each time. They will be brought to you. Ah. This is a crazy... What's wrong with this person?
Yeah, that's an impossible... I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, this is like insensitive because I sound... It sounds bad to be like, I'll take the cancer, I guess.
Well, you're not getting cancer. That's the question. That's the thing.
You're just going through the
treatment, which is not pleasant either, but...
No, but I'm losing weight. I get a new do. I get a lot of people feeling good for, you know, sending condolences and, you know.
No, I mean, I was looking probably to go with the cancer, not the cancer, yeah. Excuse me, the chemotherapy. Probably
that seems
also,
like the only option. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, because no one's going to feel for me sucking a dick every other month. Now, if I was like, yeah, I got to do this dick suck again, they'd be like, all right, yeah, you know.
Yeah, you made a deal.
There
plus,
you go.
The frequency, that's what's messed up.
Yeah, the frequency's messed up. And it's also like, I think I'd gain weight with all the dick sucking. I'd be like so nervous about having to do it that next month that I'd.
Yeah, you're not going to feel good, but you're going to stress eat.
Stress eat and all that stuff. Let's do another Would You Rather.
But yeah, but that's a weird one, you know.
That was a little weird.
We like to keep it a little lighter, but all right.
I mean, this guy. Okay, hold on. This guy wanted a shout out.
All right.
Let me read this, and then he's got a question. Can I get a shout out for the hello I sent you on Snap? Yeah, this dude sent me a hello on Snap. It was really funny. The bouncer almost kicked my dick in, but I'm sure I caused a few lady boners in the process. Send all dicks and shits and no tits to my buddy on Snap, TC2. That's TC2. Also, I wanted to run one question by you. I used some of your previous Jewish sage wisdom and side commented this fitness girl in the gym. I need to know the quickest route to put my extra weak medium in her ass. It's a long way to go, man. She's a 5'9". The only reason I give her a 9 for personality is because she's so jacked, she might kick my ass if I didn't. So her body's a 9, but so I guess this dude's into like a jack chick. But I'm wondering what my play is. Got her number about 3 days ago. She's in the gym every single time I go. After I got the number, she went back and tapped on the window of my pic of mine on Instagram from about 2 months ago. Do I ask her to work out, get drinks, blowjob in the sauna? Not sure my play. Any advice from you, the esteemed guest in the 888 Mansamp would be awesome. What do you think?
I love that he brought up the 888.
I mean, he's already got the number. That's the hardest part.
Yeah. I mean, well, I wouldn't do the hangout or whatever at the gym.
No, that's
take
where
it out of the gym.
Take it out of the, you got to take it out of the gym and you got to send her a text being like, hey, I would invite her to keep it. It sounds like he wants to keep it casual. To keep it casual, I'd be like, hey, I'm going out with a few friends to do this. We're going to go to this bar. You should definitely come with some friends and then make it a group thing. Doesn't feel weird. Or you go the other route. You say, hey, I'm going to get drinks after work this week. You're free. It's as easy as that. The hardest part is the side comment on the gym chick. That's the hardest part.
Right. Well, he could even invite her. I mean, now that he's done that already, he could invite her at the gym. Be like, as he's leaving, be like, hey, you know, going out this weekend, you want to come out.
Would you rather be notified, sent a text every time someone is talking crap about you, your looks, your cooking, your laugh, etc., or a text be sent to a person you talk crap about every time with every detail you said about them. Note, even if you said something good to follow up the trash talk, it would not be included in the text. Also, this does not exclude chicks, dudes you're banging, your husband, wife, or your boss. As a chick, I would much rather receive a text. We just lost the mic.
That's okay.
The ghost of Pat Dixon just push over mic. Eva, as a chick, I would much rather receive a text every time someone talks crap about me, because then I would know whether or not to waste my time with that person. What do you think?
So wait, so let me be clear. So if I'm talking shit about my wife or whatever, my mom, it's not going. Well, I'm saying, but it's not going to them.
It is going to them.
Oh, it's going to everybody.
A text be sent to the person you talk crap about every time with detail you said about them.
Hmm. Well, I felt like there was more of a clarifying point at the end there. But
even if you said something good to follow up the trash talk, it would not be included in the text, is what you're saying. No, I'm getting the text about someone saying stuff about me.
I don't know. I guess I wouldn't. I would just clean up. You know, I would just be way tighter about who I was.
To talk about if I couldn't talk shit.
No, but I don't care about certain people. Like if I make a comment about certain people, I don't give a shit.
No way, man. I would not want to deal with the awkwardness of seeing that person after, like, knowing they got the text and then I got to see them.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not.
Well, I found out this kid I went to high school with who I've never really got along, and I don't like. He's one of the few people that I really
don't
like. No, I pretty much get along with everybody. I can find a reason to like you. I don't like this kid. And then I found out he's going to law school, and he's 31 now. And I was like, how the fuck did he get into law? Like, I'm shocked by the fact that he got into law school. And I was like, there's no way he's going to finish, though. You know.
You want him to get that text?
Yeah, I'd be perfectly fine with him getting that text, yeah.
Let's do hypothetical. One more.
Okay.
Hey there, J-Train. Got a hypothetical that has been debated in our group text the last few days, and it's been getting heated in there, to say the least. Here it goes. Would you rather have every movie you watch slowly become animated and turn into the movie Shrek, or have every song you listen to slowly turn into All Star by Smash Mouth? Oh, so every movie... Would you rather have every movie you watch slowly become animated and turn into Shrek?
It's hilarious, yeah.
Or have every song you listen to slowly turn into All Star by Smash Mouth? Love to hear your opinion, as it's about 50-50 in our group. Thanks, love the pod. Keep up doing Yahweh's work. What do you think?
I think I would, as long as it was after like the first chorus of every song, I'd be okay with it turning into All Star.
Couldn't, no way.
No.
The movie.
Why?
The movie. Because I'm thinking about like, I think I would go crazy.
But think about this. You're watching a documentary or whatever, and it's halfway through, and now you're watching Shrek.
I make it halfway through movies anyways. Okay. I'm not sticking around for a lot of movies. I don't make it to the end of very many. Especially on Netflix, I'm going halfway in.
Okay, so you're done anyway when it's Shrek. Okay.
I mean, with a song, I can be taken away. I could be thinking about something, and all of a sudden I got to fucking go through All-Star again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it would be annoying for sure. But.
And then you're at the gym. Can you imagine being in the gym and fucking all of a sudden, again? Like, how hard would a run be?
Right. Well, at least it's not a downer of a song, though. You know what I mean? It's like, it'll keep the energy up.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But I'm going with the...
I'm just saying, at your wedding. It's like your wedding dance. It turns into All-Star.
Father-daughter dance.
Yeah.
All-Stars, you're an All-Star. That would be great. All right. Well, man, Sam, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, buddy.
And thank you, the listener. Thank you for listening. J-Train Podcast. We're here every Tuesday and Friday. Tell a friend. Tell one friend about this show, and we're going to be back next episode. Boom.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Boom.